All right, welcome to Drone Garage. I'm Jacob, and today we have Pete from Drone Squad on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about his involvement with Drone Squad, their involvement with the TBS Race Tracker, and how it works. And Pete used to be a former Microsoft employee, so this is an interesting combination, and we get to talk a little bit about things that Pete knows about our company and how all that stuff works, and we'll go from there. So Pete, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell people a little bit about you, and we'll go from there, and we'll start talking about your event, your race tracker, and how you guys got involved.
Great. Thanks for having me on. So I've been making software for about 20 different years, consumer products. Started in, you know, CD-ROM, and then PC, and then internet, and then mobile for the past 10 years, and that's been my focus on innovation-related products. When I was at Microsoft, I was lucky enough to work on HoloLens, some envisioning projects, but all I could think about was, man, it'd be so cool if we could use those for drones, because I'm such a drone fan. And then I left Microsoft about a year and a half ago and started Drone Squad. And our mission is to connect all the drone pilots that are FPVing and racing out there so they can fly together for fun and also compete.
Cool. So you have a website. It's tied to an apps on phones where people could, you know, regardless of the race tracker, you don't need the race tracker for any of that, where you can sort of go in, sign up, get an account, and you can find other people that are flying FPV races and events wherever you're at in the world, right? Like the app helps you hook up with other people to figure out, you know, hey, I want to go fly and race an event. Where's one near me?
Yeah, exactly. I've been building and flying drones for 4.5 years, and the problem I always had that a lot of other pilots shared with me was it's hard to find other people to fly with. And everyone that gets involved in this really loves it, and sort of connecting with people locally was kind of a problem. So that's kind of the first thing that we set out to solve with the app. You just download it, and you'll start getting push notifications whenever there's a new local meetup or race, sort of like Meetup for Drones, that aspect of it.
Cool. And then the other thing that your app sort of solves is the idea of frequency management. Like fly with somebody, and that seems like the number one problem all of us have.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what frequency are you on? And then you're like, I don't know. Like
totally.
Whatever one I was on last time I flew my quad.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that's gone to an FPV meetup with a bunch of drone pilots, more than three or four, has gone through the same scenario where they've all got their gear set up, and it all starts out with who's on Fat Shark 1 or who just turned on 3, and all mayhem breaks loose. So just really the simple thing of coordinating frequencies, is another sort of the next actual pain point that we went after with Drone Squad. So when you show up at the field, everyone just opens up the app, and you can pick channels, and it instantly will update the frequency list and get everyone on a safe channel. And manage the heats, and just takes care of all those logistics, so the organizer isn't pulling their hair out, and people are not crashing due to other guys plugging in.
Yeah. So just for people watching, so this right here on the desk, and we'll get a shot of it, is the race tracker. Pretty inexpensive, you know, $60 from Team Black Sheep, and then you hook that up to your phone with your app, and then it's pretty simple. I just want to do time trials of myself, right? So I just go in, I pair up the Bluetooth, it's all Bluetooth over the event tracker, and then I say, hey, let's do some lap time trials after I set the frequency.
Yep.
And then the app's pretty cool. I'm going to go back here real quick and try, because I did this like before the show. I said, I'm going to test
That's
this. So go back real quick and say, I want to do a new time trial. So you go into...
So while you're setting that up, I'll just say that one of the problems for racers is that it's really hard to actually get times, and it's expensive. And the systems beforehand are these infrared-based systems. They could cost upwards of $700. You'd have to put an infrared transponder in each one of your quads, and it was just a real pain in the butt. So this technology that you're setting up here with the race tracker, it actually listens to the video signal, the RF broadcast on 5.8 gigahertz, And it gets tuned to the very specific channel that it's listening to. So when the drone flies over, boom, it logs a lap and then streams that data to the phone. And the phone's connected to the internet. So basically, this is a drone IoT device.
Yes. Yeah. No. So I think I got everything going. I'm going to do new flight here on the phone. And then I'll take my tiny whoop and fly it over the tracker. And that's, see? And it's doing nothing. Oh, man. So that's awesome.
It's hard for me to see how you have it set up.
Yeah, you can't see it yet.
A couple different modes there. So there's flyover mode. In flyover mode, you need to do one lap. And then there's a minimum lap time, so you don't double count. So if that's set to, like, say, 10 seconds, and you'd have to fly over it again 10 seconds later, and that would register your first lap.
Let me go back and make sure I put it on the right frequency when I did that. So that's
The way it works is you, just for your viewers, you open up the app, and we're already kind of tracking what frequency you're on for races. So you just say, okay, well, I'm on Fast Shark 1, and then you do a calibration process, and then you set this minimum lap time in case you have a tight course, and then that's the sort of the setup process. It sends it to the tracker.
All right, so let's try that again. And this is awesome because I was doing it in my office before we showed up. But it doesn't seem to.
Yeah, of course, that's how it works.
It's how it works all the time. But
yeah.
I know
so
it does work. But essentially, it's the same thing. You like P was saying, you fly the drone over it. It registers that the time. I think the minimum lap time is like 10 seconds or something like that, but I'm sure that's configured.
The default. Yeah,
you could configure that to something else.
Right.
And then it would register the time, and it calls out the time on the phone to whoever's racing. So, and then from there, like we talked a little bit earlier before the show about like future of where you guys want to go with this and what you're thinking and trying to make this easier for people. Because I like we talked, I struggle right now. So there's the big brother to this, which is the event tracker. And it will do 8 pilots at a time. I think the race tracker will do more than one, or just it only does the one at a time.
So right now the race tracker was launched as we marketed as a personal timing device.
Yep.
But right now we're about to release an alpha where we're actually going to allow you to connect multiple race trackers together and pair it to one phone. So we're going to allow, you know, if you and 4 buddies show up to a tiny little party, you all bring your own race tracker. You could connect them together into an ad hoc timing system, a pretty cheap one.
Yeah, pretty good. And then,
So it started out as race timing for personal training, and that's how we just wanted. It's new technology. We wanted to get out there in people's hands and see what worked and what didn't. And I was telling you before, we recorded 200,000 timed laps since we launched this.
That's pretty amazing.
Which is crazy. Yeah. Also, I get Facebook messages from pro pilots all the time telling me how much it's improved their performance. It's like, can you imagine being like a marathon runner and not knowing what your mile is, you know? It's like that is what it is for FPV right now. And you've got this sport that's really evolving very, very quickly, but no one really knows. And so this was like it really helped all these guys train. And like the minute they started using it and then they're hearing the laps, then they're adjusting their lines through the gates and stuff. So it's just kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very cool. Like I've used it in my house, flying around just laps in my house and other things. And it's an interesting perspective. And I would say I'm an awful pilot still. So flying around my house is a challenge in itself. it's fun to play with and get times with it and see it run and call out times to you. And you're like, oh, I made that one a lot faster, or I made that one that was terrible. And you kind of get an idea of like what you're doing wrong. Like, if you're just after total speed, right?
And it's not just for racers too. Like, I'm a huge tiny whooper like yourself. I love doing that. I'm not a pro racer. I don't have the time to go out there and burn 50 packs a day, and nor would I be good enough to even compete at that level. But it's just, you know, even something simple as counting the laps and who came in first, second, third really enhances the experience. Like, if you're going to a tiny whoop party, or you get a couple guys, to me, the tiny whoop stuff is like casual drone gaming. Yeah. So you've got the racing, but then you've got tiny whoops, which is really just the casual fun stuff. It's like the equivalent of a mobile game versus a console game. And I think you don't have to be a great racer to really enjoy the whole experience a lot more if you are just having something to keep score for you. So,
yeah. And then beyond that, like, so we talked briefly too about my fascination with it from our garage chapter was the idea that, hey, this is just an IoT device. Like, and the event tracker, which is Big Brother, is another IoT device. And so, what could we do with these IoT devices and drones? Because we did, like I was telling Peter, that we did some shows with WADA and how to set up your drone and push data about your drone into IoT. And to me, like, well, this is another IoT device that can shove data into Azure. And then you can just, the possibilities of like what you guys are doing and what other people are doing with drones could go further. Like, you can do events around the world with different people at different places, as long as the tracks are relatively the same or you agree on what the track size is gonna be, you could shove those same events and times up together into the back end like you guys have, or feed that back into other things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, my, you know, back to sort of the HoloLens story of me just thinking about creating a virtual racing environment with HoloLens, like, that's been my dream since day one for the company, is how do we connect people around the world and let them, do gaming and racing with each other. And I think this is sort of the way to get there. And I think drones are just, you know, there's so much data, there's so much sensor data, there's, you know, the computer vision processing, there's sensor data on the ground and in the air. There's so much great data that you can leverage. We've done some experiments at our company where we've leveraged computer vision processing and photogrammetry and some other technologies to actually take GoPro video from a drone and recreate the race course and understand where the gates were, where the start and finish line was. So you can actually use, you know, cloud-based computer vision processing to do things like detect, oh, are we flying the same course? So if we wanted to have a standard course that everyone flew, like a time trial course, then we could validate that with some of the Microsoft technologies. We could, and capture all that data. There's so many things you could do with the data after the fact. You can marry that to the on-flight video that all the pilots record and do some really interesting things with the telemetry. You could provide recommendations to pilots on how to sort of improve, their lines and their approaches and how they're flying the drone. It's just, there's lots of opportunities.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities and the stuff's moving so fast right now. It's kind of, it's mind blowing to a sense. Like, you can't keep up with all the things you kind of want to do and the ideas you have. For me, it's sort of, Drone's Garage and the chapter is an auxiliary thing to my normal job. And so for me, I'm just like, oh, yes, I don't do this every day, it's my normal job. And so finding time to do some of the stuff and play with all the different things is like, there's so much stuff out there right now. I like, okay, my head's going to explode because, you know, picking the ones you want to do or is sort of a challenge as well. Like, I don't have time to do all of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's nor do we, even as guys that do this full time, you know, and that's the challenge, is sort of thinking about like what can you work on, you know, today or this month to really create something that's going to have like an impact and make something that's really cool for people and sort of add a lot of value to people and something to just be fun to do, you know. So for us, that's connecting a bunch of these together and letting people, get that data and leverage it for racing and stuff. And I'm sure you guys could figure out all kinds of stuff I haven't even thought of.
my biggest thing is, I told you, I played with your stuff, not extensively. And we just got our event tracker like a week and a half ago. And so getting that update with firmware, and then the Lifetime guys have their beta software for the event tracker. And I'm just like, the frustrating part for me is like, okay, I just want to run Tinywheel braces.
Well, you're kind of bringing a gun to a knife fight with that setup, I think. And you may not have any choice, you know, yeah. at this point in time, but, you know, that software is, you know, the event tracker is an amazing piece of technology. And that yeah. software that those guys made for that is incredibly capable. It can run all different kinds of events. And that package was designed for major races that were being televised. I mean, it's right. basically you're talking about going to the NFL and getting their system that they use, you know, to broadcast game. I mean, it's that sort of level. So it's definitely a learning curve to yeah. it. And we're sort of coming at it from the other way. So they're starting from like the pro level, and we're coming at it from like the more casual.
Nah, to be honest, I want both of them to work. So I would options, yeah. right? Like, and for
they're
me,
both
it was
great
like,
hardware.
The event tracker, like I said, it has its place, and I'm sure we'll use it for a lot of things. But I also want your race trackers to work and the drone squad stuff to work and everything to be simple and easy, because like you said, it's awesome to be able to say, hey, we're all just going to meet up at this bar or restaurant or this place, and we're just going to set up some gates and we want to fly
yeah.
and to make that easy for people, I think is one of the big goals I think you guys were after.
Yeah, it's you know, one of the best, you know, like the most gratifying things was I showed the race tracker and drone squad to a buddy of mine who's more of a drone photography guy, not by any means a racer or sport pilot. And I demonstrated it with a tiny whoop, just like you were just doing. And this was about 4 weeks ago. And he's like, oh, well, this is cool. So I can use your app to create a meetup. So in the next week, he created a meetup group in our app, which sent a push notification to everyone in LA. The week after that, 50 people joined it. The week after that, he scheduled a bar event at the local Koreatown sports bar called Piper's. So now they've got all these guys with micro drones showing up at this bar on a Monday night. And then by the next week, there was like 25 people showing up to one of their events, and they have LED gates that are hanging from the ceilings, and one half of the bar, all these drone guys geeking out. The other half of the bar were these random people coming in going like, what the hell are they doing? That looks cool, you know?
Yeah.
And his name is Bo, the FPV guy. It's called LA Tiny Whoop, just to throw him a plug. And he's having so much fun with it. And I go there probably about every other event I can make it. And I just love showing up and just grabbing some food and a drink and doing that. And he asked me every single time I go, so when's the drone squad race mode going to be ready? And and so I'll let you, if you guys are interested in testing it, we're going to be ready to go alpha probably in a week or two. So.
Awesome. And just to prove that this works, it's counting off times now. I got it to work. Just standing here talking to you, it's like, oh yeah, it does work. I have to actually hit the start button before it starts recording times.
yeah,
so
that'd be good.
But yeah, it's awesome. Like, it records times, has a minimum time, and starts displaying them on the device here, and it calls them out, which you can't hear.
Yeah,
because my Bluetooth is playing up through my hearing aids, and I hear it talking in my ears, but not speaking out the phone. So you have to trust me on that one. But it's pretty awesome. Like, love
yeah.
the device. It's fun to play with.
Yeah, and there's an extra secret little port here. There's going to be some announcements about what that's going to be for, and that's going to, you know, I think one of the things that is really interesting is sort of creating interactivity and other types of games. So imagine basically, you know, taking a room and, you know, having objects on there that are addressable, not just race trackers, but imagine LED gates and other things, and being able to address those through the cloud-based software that we're building. So not only being able to read the data, but actually to program the course and make it responsive to what's happening with the drones.
Very cool. So yeah. So the idea is you're going to expand it even more than what it is today. Like then you could set this up. Like I know, I think TBS has their, for their event tracker, they have a device they call the split timer or whatever, sort of same sort awesome. Of concept, but just using your race trackers to do that sort of thing. So
yeah, that split timer is great, you know, because now you can start showing kind of speeds and progress along a course, and we're definitely interested in doing that as well. You know, our whole system is cloud-based and optimized for real time. We learned early on when we were, you know, testing this stuff out with pilots. We went to, you know, 2 or 3 meetups a week, met with about, went to about 30 or 40 meetups while we were developing the app, and we learned that these pilots, they're totally impatient, and when they join a channel, it has to instantly show up on their phone, and it couldn't wait 3 seconds. So we really tuned our API and our architecture to be responsive. And so I'm glad we did that, because now when we start getting into things like showing live scoreboard displays, which is something that we can easily do. So imagine when Bo has that next event at his bar, being able to plug in his laptop into one of the plasma screens and now having a scoreboard that's showing everyone in the whole bar what's happening with the event. And I think that's going to be really cool. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm after. It's like easy, sit down, throw out the race trackers. People know what frequencies they're on, and then we just fly.
That's the goal. No one wants to mess around with gear and deal with all that, and these things. Basically, you know, another thing that we're doing that we have not announced yet, but I'll say it here, I guess, is that you know these can scan all the channels. So you can basically turn this into a spectrum analyzer. We want to use that capability to help sense the environment and make sure that everyone is on the channel that they say they're on. Because there's one thing, you know, it's one thing to tell someone to get on Fat Shark One, but whether or not they actually did that is another, another thing altogether.
It's one of these things, like everybody's got a different all-in-one Tiny Whoop camera on top of their drone, and not everybody knows how to change the channel properly to the right channel.
These drones are infuriating. Like the user interface is like one button, and you have to press it 40 times, and there's no feedback unless you check your goggles. And so, you know, those are all kind of the, you know, it's early days in this world, and it'll get better. I said that last year. I said by this year it would be solved, but you know, so we're trying to make it easy for people, and like that's where we spend 50% of our time is just user interface and talking to pilots, and you know. Because otherwise people aren't, I mean, if you're a total geek from Microsoft, like I was, and if you're having problems with this, then what about the average guy, right?
Yep.
So we have to make it easy for everyone to have a good time.
Yeah, that was part of my frustration is like some of this stuff was when I first got into this probably about a year ago, my frustration was with the technology. It was too hard for the average person. Like the average person couldn't figure it out because I was struggling figuring out like, okay, how does this thing work? Why do they make changing channels so hard on VTXs? It still blows my mind. Like, the Unify is awesome. It's easy to change channels. The stuff they're doing with the Lua scripts and things like that to do smart audio are leaps and bounds ahead of what we were doing a year ago, going click, 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 or the dip switch method of switching your frequencies on your quad. Oh man.
Yeah. I'll only fly the integrated systems now. I'm over it. So like the Rotorx Atom is a little 3-inch drone that I have, and it uses the TBS micro power cube stack, fully integrated. Every component's integrated. So when I turn that thing on, I can do everything from my OSD with stick commands. I can change the channel, the power, the frequency, I can tune my quad, I can change my call sign, boom. Like I have no patience for sitting there pressing buttons anymore.
Nice. Cool. Well, just quick, I wanted people to sort of get to see your product, and I would encourage you, if you don't have one of these and you fly drones, to go buy one. They're $60, they're cheap. And then go, and even before you have that, go out to Drone Squad and sign up and check out Pete's stuff. It's pretty awesome. That's easy to find. I created a group on there for Drones Garage. We're going to start using that. So I've been playing with all of them, the multi-GP stuff. I started playing with your stuff. And to me, it's like whatever's going to make my life the easiest to be able to go out there, set it up, run an event, and then just be able to fly without having to mess with all the things that people just don't understand. So.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for trying it out. And if anyone wants to, you know, experience drone racing and find a local meetup, just download the app, iOS and Android, and it will show you the local places, or go to our website, dronesquad.com, and you can try to see the stuff. Because, like, I think there's two types of people, like people that, you know, love FPV or just haven't tried it yet. So
awesome. And then in your app, this is an awesome feature. In your app, you have a message system that basically pops up. And so if you have questions, you just ask Pete.
Yeah.
Pete shows up on your phone. You'd ask him questions.
I'm there.
He gets back to you pretty quick.
I'm like Tom from MySpace. I'm everywhere.
Yeah, so it's been, that's how I got a hold of you the first time to talk about coming on the show, is I just get on the app and it's like, hey, Pete, you interested? And just start asking him questions. So it's been awesome. And I find that to be the norm for the community as a whole. Like, you just reach out and start talking to people and ask them questions. So, and your app enables that even more for people to say, hey, I want to have a meetup and we're going to go fly and do stuff. And to me, the Tiny Whoop stuff is awesome. They're little drones you can fly everywhere. And that's
so cool.
To fun. So cool. I'm sure we'll talk more. Maybe we'll come back on later when I have some more time to play around with your device and talk about. I want to pick your brain over the IoT stuff. And
I would love to talk about that some more. I just think, you know, you guys have so many great technologies there, and so many, you know, lots of guys that are curious and smart, and it'd be great to do some, like, a hackathon or something with our API if you guys are interested in that. I think that would be really cool.
Cool. Yeah, we'll talk more. Get some chapter people together that know a lot about IoT, and maybe get Wada. She moved to Japan, so we have to coordinate schedules a little bit to talk to her, but get them together and let's talk about what we could do. Be fun.
Right,
a hackathon event would be awesome.
Like, yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Be a lot of fun with people. Awesome. Yeah. Well, anything else you want to say before we go?
No. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to keeping in touch.
Awesome. Well, that's our show, and thanks for tuning in, and fly safe.